Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, right here on Bagels and Blessings, you're going to hear the story of John Cantor. He's going to talk about how he came to know his Messiah. Stay with me and I'll be right back. Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
That was the voice of Jonathan Sittel. May he rest in peace. And next up, here's some music from Ted Pierce.
Praise is awaiting you in Zion, O God. And to you our vows will all be fulfilled. Oh, you who hears our prayers, it is to you that all shall come. Praise you, praise you. All the earth will shout and the rocks cry out as we praise you. Praise you, praise you. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everyone gonna praise you. You crown the seasons with your goodness, pastures of the wilderness overflow.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840.
This is a song I wrote with my good friend, Aaron Schust. Welcome to Jerusalem, brother.
How majestic is your name? How
Joshua Aaron and Aaron Schust. And now, here's everything you always wanted to know and more about Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
I am so happy to announce that I have written my very first book. It's called Mama Ethel's Guide to Love and Healthy Relationships. You can find it at olivepresspublisher.company.site. And right now she is offering a discount. It should be up on Amazon soon, but I am really thrilled. And just to tell you briefly, it's not only about romantic relationships, but it's about human-to-human interaction. I start off by mentioning that you really can't love another person until you love yourself. And I talk about the fact that we teach others how to treat us, and that is simply because we set boundaries. Or we don't set boundaries. But either way, we are letting other people know what is okay or what isn't okay. And I talk about not giving into fear. I mention a little bit about my personal life and how I had to learn to forgive my first husband when he left us. And I'm just thrilled that it's finally been published. So if you're interested, again, you can look it up. Mama Ethel's Guide to Love and Healthy Relationships. And it's right now on Olive Press Publishers website. And that's all I got to say about that, because soon you're going to hear my interview with John Cantor. But right now, here's some music from Sue Samuel.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. The Tol Elohai. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you
pour out our praise, it's your breath.
That was Sue Samuel, Gadol Elohai, Great Are You, Lord. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for my interview with John Cantor. But in the meantime, here's some wonderful music from Paul Wilbur.
Shalom, friends. This is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
All right. Well, now it's time for my interview with John Cantor. Enjoy, darling. Enjoy. John Cantor, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Really good to find another person on Facebook. You know, social media has been great for me in terms of finding interesting people to interview.
Well, I don't troll, but I do dabble in it. So it's a fun medium.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I don't know much about you, but we're going to all find out together. John, did you grow up in a typical Jewish home or a Gentile home? What was your early childhood like?
Yes. I grew up in Southern California, Los Angeles, West LA, Santa Monica, that area. And have Jewish ancestry, Ashkenazi, Russian Jewish ancestry, both through my father's line and my mother's line. My paternal grandmother actually was born in the Ukraine, Odessa. And then my paternal grandfather grew up in a family that were dairy farmers in Latvia.
Oh.
And so they were both part of that wave of immigration in the late 1900s to escape the pogroms that were going on in Russia at that time.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So they went through Ellis Island and that whole thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So was your family observant? Did you, you know, take...
Well, my dad grew up in the Orthodox tradition. Then when his father passed, shortly after his bar mitzvah, then he started to move away from that, being observant in that sector of Judaism. And then my mother, her upbringing was more, I would say, conservative, leaning towards reform and a reform expression of Judaism. And then growing up, you know, this was Southern California, you know, 60s and 70s. So we identified as reform, in the reform branch of Judaism, but for really, practically speaking, we were nominally observant. I would say certainly much more of a cultural expression. You know, culturally, we had a very strong Jewish identity. As far as traditional practice, not so much. Not so much.
I see.
We did the holidays, but you know, wouldn't go to services with any regularity. You know.
And so how did you find out about Yeshua, Jesus being the Jewish Messiah?
Sure. Well, I never had anyone communicate the gospel to me when I was growing up. When I was growing up, in those days, most of the kids that I knew were either, I would say, you know, nominally Protestant, nominally Jewish, nominally Roman Catholic. And so I remember, for example, my Jewish friends, you know, typically after they had their bar mitzvah, then, you know, the faith was kind of marginalized at that point in their lives. And then typically, honestly, the deal in those days, both among my Jewish friends and my non-Jewish friends, Gentile friends, the parents would say, okay, you know, we want you to do such and such until you're about 12 or 13, and then after that, it's up to you. You know, so most of us say, well, you know, if it's up to me, then, you know, that's it. You know, I'm done with it pretty much. that was kind of the culture that I grew up in.
I see.
So anyway, so to answer your question, then how did I come to faith, recognize the messiahship of Yeshua? You may have read my testimony via Facebook. I think that's how we connected. I literally found a small. I'm 16 years old. I found a small miniature booklet on the ground. It wasn't an evangelistic tract, but it was just a compilation of some fairly well-known Bible verses. But I was biblically illiterate, so to me, you know, I wasn't, you know, they weren't well-known. But I was reading stuff like, you know, John 3:16 and passages from some of the sermon songs and Isaiah 53:6, of course, kind of the John 3:16 of Tanakh, the Old Testament. And so, yeah, I'm reading stuff like that, and honestly, it just rocked my world. Now, I was kind of, I had gone to a Reform Kinderschule, or a Jewish Sunday school as a kid, elementary and middle school for a bit. And so I was exposed to the concept of a Messiah, but it was presented in very humanistic terms. There was no divinity attached to that, certainly, and there was no redemptive work connected to that. It was just more like this very dynamic figure is going to come on the scene and actually usher in a period of peace, you know. So I was in those kind of vague general terms, I was somewhat familiar with Messianic concept. But when I started reading the Bible, and specifically Messianic prophecies, and Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, was popular during that period, this kind of the early mid-70s, I just started, you know, praying a very simple prayer. I said, you know, Lord, if Jesus is the Messiah, I pray you make that known to me. And no one ever communicated the gospel to me. I was just kind of trying to connect the dots on my own. And so one day I was channel surfing on a Sunday morning, flipping through the religious programming on TV, and there was some Yahoo preacher talking about all this prophecy stuff, and I was, okay, this is cool. I've been reading about that, but I couldn't follow it. It was way above my head. But he gave an invitation at the end of this program to trust Christ, the Savior. And I'm listening to this, and I said, you know what? I believe all this stuff. I mean, yeah, I was, you know, tracking with it and resonating with it, you know. And so, yeah, it was a solitary experience, and I kind of sum it up as, you know, the Spirit of God took the Word of God, and by the grace of God, I became a child of God. That's how I can succinctly put it.
Praise the Lord. So, yeah. When did you first meet other Jews that believed the same way?
Well, yeah, I would say when I first started meeting other Jewish believers, it probably wasn't until, I think, when I was, I did some secular radio for a bit in my early 20s, and then when I got out of that, I was about 24, and then I started, I was living, moved back to L.A., and what was then ABMJ, which is now Chosen People Ministries. Back then they were known as American Board of Missions to the Jews. They used to have these Friday night fellowship gatherings, kind of Erev Shabbat kind of thing. And so that would have been, I guess, 83 is when I really first started connecting with other Jewish believers, and again, that was through the ministry of what is now Chosen People Ministries.
Amazing. And I have to ask, John, because this is like the million-dollar question I ask a lot of Jewish believers. So tell me, how did your family feel about your interest in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah? Do tell.
Oh, sure. I love the ethnic inflection. That's great. I get that question a lot, and I would say initially my folks thought that, it was kind of a teenage phase that I was going through. Quickly outgrow. But, you know, they were pretty cool with it. They were kind of live and let live, pretty chill, laid back Californians. I didn't really get a lot of pushback on that one. I did get some from my grandparents. That was harder for them to navigate, and so there was that got a little messy sometimes with my grandparents, but not as much with my parents. And both my mom and dad are gone now, and to the best of my knowledge, they never came to faith. But I'll tell you, they were very, God bless them, they were very supportive over the years. You know, they came, when I got into vocational ministry and would be doing different speaking engagements, preaching and whatnot, you know, they would come out and hear me speak. And, you know, they're I think, really as supportive as they could be as non-believers. So I was really very blessed in that way.
Oh, that's wonderful. So tell me more about how God has been using you since you became a believer, and you know, how did your life change? Two loaded questions.
yeah, sure. Well, I'll try to hit the highlights of the highlights there. I had struggled with a call. Well, okay, so I came to faith at the age of 16, and honestly, my life, as far as really spiritual, as far as sanctification, as far as, you know, serious spiritual growth, that really didn't happen for a number of years. I still was rebellious. I acted out. I chose to play the spiritual fool. On a number of occasions, and you know, I'm not proud of that, but profoundly grateful for the grace of God in my life. And so I would say in my early 20s, when I got out of radio, and you know, I kind of felt this call to ministry, but I knew, you know, I really needed to be mentored, and I needed some spiritual maturity in my degree of spiritual maturity in my life. So I would say when I really got in a good place as far as growing as a disciple, I would say that started to really happen later on, about like the age of 24. Well, that's probably like 25, 26. And then I got married when I was 29. And then we, my wife and I, we moved to Chicago, because I went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, did my undergrad there. And then so we were 5 years in Chicago, was involved in Messianic ministry in Chicago, working part-time with Chosen People Ministries at that season of life. And then so after 5 years, I moved from Chicago to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, moved where we reside now, moved down here to attend Dallas Seminary. So I was at Dallas Seminary from 91 through 97. And during that period of time, ended up working with another, serving with another Messianic ministry called CJF. They're known now as CJF. At that time, they were known as the Christian Jew Foundation. And so they're based in San Antonio. And they were, for many years, they were primarily a broadcasting ministry. They had a old radio program called the Christian Jew Hour with Charles Half. And he was a character, kind of an early pioneer in religious broadcasting. Anyhow, so but I did also did some helped pastor a Messianic congregation in Dallas for 4 years when I was in seminary. And I was involved in a, another church plant. It wasn't, it's more ethnically generic. It wasn't the Messianic. But so then, anyway, long story short, did some parachurch work, pastoral work. And so now, this season of life, and then anyway, left CJF. In 2015, and now I'm working with an old seminary friend of mine, Steve Gehr, and he's got his own 501c3 nonprofit called Sojourner Ministries. And so I'm kind of independent rep, so to speak, with Steve. And so I still do some preaching and teaching in churches, These days, I've had the opportunity to mentor some young men, which I really enjoy because, you know, I reflect on my own journey. And I think, you know, my early to mid-20s before I got married, that was, you know, really the most challenging season of my life on many fronts. And so I really have a heart for young men who, you know, really, you know, trying to get established in life. And do some Zoom studies, trying to do like an Erev Shabbat thing via Zoom, trying to get that going. And so, yeah, you know, just kind of little of this, little of that. God's been very gracious over the years, giving me opportunities to do things.
Apparently, God's given you a lot of really cool opportunities. So John, I'm going to ask you this. I never know who's listening. I think my audience is primarily non-Jewish, but sometimes there could be a non-believing Jew listening to the program. And what would you say to them if they said to you that they're afraid to look in the New Testament, they don't want to convert to another religion, and how do you know Jesus is a Messiah? Like, I don't know how many Jews you've been able to lead to the Lord, but, you know, we're stubborn people.
I get that. By the grace of God, I've had the privilege to lead some of our Jewish people to faith, or be the human conduit to facilitate that. I would say this about that. I say if you're a Gentile believer with a sincere desire to reach your Jewish friend with the gospel, I think the key thing to stress is in the spirit of Romans 11:11, that you have a recognition and respect for the Jewishness of faith in Jesus. I think that's really the most concise way I can put it. We really need to communicate to folks that we have a genuine recognition and respect for the Jewishness of faith in Jesus. And what I mean by that is stressing that the gospel message itself, the good news, Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead, referencing 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, that gospel message was promised to Jewish prophets. It was fulfilled in a Jewish Messiah. It was originally communicated, disseminated through Jewish disciples. And so the whole, tying that in with the whole olive tree imagery in Romans 11, you know, supersessionism or replacement theology is so prevalent today. And the idea that the church is the new Israel. And so I think, you know, we need to stress to people, again, that we have a genuine recognition, a genuine respect for the Jewishness of faith in Jesus. And also come from a place of humility that, you know, hey, by the grace of God, I have been enabled to be a sharer, a participant in Jewish spiritual blessing that is rooted and grounded in covenant promise. And, you know, the whole idea of, you know, chesed, covenantal loyalty. You know, God is faithful in his promises, loyal in his love. And, you know, I think if you can, In the context of relationship with someone, communicate those types of things, I think that's very powerful. That's been my experience over the years.
Very good. And what do you say to the Jewish person that thinks that becoming a Messianic Jew means that you've converted to another religion?
Yeah, sure. I've run into that. I've dealt with that issue. And I would say this about that. I would say that recognition of the Messiahship of first century Jewish Yeshua of Nazareth, recognition of his messiahship, recognition of his divine person and redemptive work, that doesn't eradicate your God-given Jewish identity, you know, by any means at all. You know, you are what you are. You know, you biblically define Jewish identity means one is a physical descendant of the Hebrew patriarchs, you know. So, you know, your lineage, your ancestry, it is what it is. You know, we have no control over that. But spiritually speaking, to recognize the messiahship of the one who was prophesied in Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, and the prophetic realization of that in the Brit HaDashah, the New Covenant scriptures, the New Testament, to faith embrace that redemptive grace, that doesn't marginalize or eradicate one's Jewish identity. The opposite, it enhances it, it magnifies it. You know, Paul spoke, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul spoke about that, you know, that, you know, there's that magnification of one's Jewish identity. I think the reason, you know, because of history and culture and all of the stuff around that, you know, I get why people think that. I used to, you know, kind of, when I was growing up, you know, as a kid, you know, my idea of Christians were the kids I used to see at Disneyland in church groups, you know. So I get it, you know, like in the world my dad grew up in, you know, like I was exposed to a little anti-Semitism, but, you know, certainly his generation and certainly my grandparents' generation, you know, that was a real thing, you know, that they had to deal with, you know. And so when that's your context growing up, then you get into this kind of us them mindset, you know, and so a lot of that way of looking at people in the world, that's a survival mechanism, you know. And I get all of that, but I think the again, if we can come from a place of profound gratitude for the redemptive grace of God, and come from a place of sincere humility, that, you know, by the grace of God, I've been made not a taker over, but a partaker. I'm ripping off Arnold Fruchtenbaum there, uh-huh. but he's right. You know, we're not Gentile believers are not taker overs of these blessings; they're partakers of these spiritual blessings rooted and grounded in covenant promise. So, I don't know. I think the more we can talk to people in those terms, I think it's very compelling. You know, people respond to that.
I like to think that it's not that I've converted to another religion, that my heart is converted. I like to quote, I think it's Deuteronomy 30, verse 10, where it talks about the circumcision of the heart. And right. It's a true heart conversion.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an internal shift. You're probably familiar with the Hebrew verb shuv.
Yes.
Which translated as repentance, you know, has the idea of a shift or a turn, and then you combine that with the Greek term, the Koine Greek term metanoia, which has the idea fundamentally of a change of mind. So it's kind of like saying, you know, I used to look at something one way, and now I look at it another way, and so I've done a 180 in terms of you know, my way of looking at things and how I live, you know. And so, but that, all of that doesn't wipe out one's God-given ethnicity.
Amen.
It enhances the spirituality that a person has and purifies it. And so, you know, it's like you become a better version. You become like the best version of you. You know, if I can say it like that.
Yeah, I like that. Well, believe it or not, we've just about run out of time. And just briefly before we go, is there anything you'd like us to be praying for you or your family or your ministry?
Sure, I appreciate that. I would just say appreciate prayer for, you know, this season of life. You know, my wife and I we're in kind of in our, getting in our later 60s. And so, you know, there's health challenges and you know, it's a great season of life, you know, being grandparents and, you know, but, I would say appreciate prayers for health and, at times finances are challenging during, the pandemic, of course, and there were, periods where finances were a challenge, but, I'll tell you, I'm overall, I'm just, so grateful. for the presence, the consistency of God's presence, and the magnitude of His love. You know what happened at age 16. I've never gotten over it, and I never will get over it. So, Baruch Hashem.
Amen. Well, John, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be my guest on Bagels and Blessings, and I hope we can do it. Hope we can do it again sometime.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Sure. So, shalom for now. That was a really fun interview with John Cantor. I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings, and we have time for one or two more songs. Let me see what I can come up with. As a new believer in Yeshua in 1976, one of the first Messianic groups I ever heard was the group Lamb. So this is from their Lamb trilogy. It's Shema Yisrael. I know you're going to love it.
Adonai Eloheinu, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu.
And so our program has come to an end. Here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Panam Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.